Hello and welcome to the ARCOP podcast for June 2025 with me, James Jenkins, Head of Customer Development, and Matt Cook, ARCOP's General Manager. And we're live. Matt, good afternoon. How are you?
I am hot. That's what I am.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's indeed. Quite warm here in the New York area.
I heard actually it's hotter here than it is in parts of Florida.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. Did you tip? You must have got close to 100.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. The feels like exceeded 100. So.
Yes, and it's always good. The great thing is because I'm a great believer that the ether has a sense of humor. That aircon just it only breaks when it gets over 100.
Yeah, that's right. It's overheat. It's overworked. That's the problem. I've been struggling with that in my house. I'm very familiar with the intricacies of how the AC units work now.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. It has to be done. So it's good that the weather is very, very warm and good. It's also been pretty hot in the UK as well. So I think close to 30, high 90s, somebody was saying as well. So we will be back in quick. Let's start with a shout out for the summits that we have. So we'll be in Dublin on the 14th of October and then in London on the 16th of October. So it'll be cooler then. Normal locations, we're getting save the dates out, but usual format, lots of discussion around 3DS, lots of updates from merchants, issuers, processors, the schemes, and of course from the team here at ARCOP. So I think it's going to be a really big success. So save the date, but we'll get the invitations out for that.
Looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really good event. I think we'll have some really interesting conversations with some merchants talking about it. The issuers find a lot of interest in what the merchants have to say and vice versa. So I think it's that's the beauty of 3DS, is trying to pull those two constituencies together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's great this time around is we've been advocating for this on this podcast for a long time now, because we believe it, that merchants and issuers can use 3DS to share data, more intelligence, more trust, drive out fraud, higher approval rates, fewer false declines. That's kind of like the pick. What's great is, and I think it's a good kind of segue into an article that you released recently on the work that we've done with Square, which I think is actually causing quite a lot of noise in the industry, which we welcome, positivity around this idea of using 3DS for signal. We released a case study. You released on Broadcom.com the kind of commentary around that. And then Visa also shared their own case study, which is leveraging 3DS and probably us as well, if we're candid, right? So I think everybody seems to be very supportive of this idea of using 3DS signal. I just thought we could have a conversation. I'm sure people will have read it, but we'll be interested in our view, and specifically your view on some of the background. So, and I think this initially started at one of the summits that we had. In fact, I know it did in London, where a conversation was sparked up with Square, and then it kind of took off from there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, much like many of the merchant acquirers, every little piece of, or every little movement that you can get in authorization rates to the positive going up results in real revenue. And it often gets lost when we're talking about fraud on the issuing side also, that they also enjoy the increased revenue through increase in authorizations. And sometimes it's different teams, but still, there's real revenue there for both merchants and issuers if you can get more legitimate transactions through the system more effectively. And so when we started this conversation with Square, that's exactly the problem they were trying to solve, is on e-com, for e-com transactions, they felt that their legitimate transactions were being punished by authorization systems at the issuers. And we're looking for any sort of edge to try and drive these approval rates up. And so when we started having this conversation, we said, well, there's this data only RCI code, which is the request challenge indicator code on 3D Secure, which is, merchant still maintains fraud liability, but sends more information to the issuer so that the issuer can get a almost a pre-read, if you will, of the transaction before it gets to authorization. And they get to see it in the increased data fields, all the things inherent in 3D Secure. and they're able to then they respond with an authenticated transaction, which because they've seen more data, once that authenticated transaction comes into authorization, you get higher approval rates. And that's exactly what we've seen. So we ran a pilot. We've then expanded the pilot, and the pilot's been roughly 9 months now, I believe. And we ran it for 9 months, and the data is just overwhelmingly positive. You look at the approval rates have gone up. If we just profiled in the article, you'll see there's five issuers, and I'll just read these because it's very impressive. So these are basis point improvements to authorization rate through this pilot. Issuer one, 377 basis points. That's 3.7%. That's a lot of money in the world of approvals. Issuer two, 646 basis points. Almost hard to believe. 6.4% in percentage point improvement. Then 23 basis points. Then 228 basis points. Then 53 basis points. It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's really a big success for the pilot in using 3D Secure to drive higher approval rates. Now, the beauty is, of course, you could drive approval rates to 100% if you're willing to tolerate massive amounts of fraud. But in all of these cases, the fraud has been not a problem. It's been not a problem. It's been controlled. Square is living up to their side of the bargain by sending transactions that they view to be legitimate and the ones that they want to be treated positively. Versus, what we've seen with other merchants is when you're just sending all of the fraudulent stuff or the risky stuff to 3DS, then you get treated poorly by the issuers and all the approval systems, whether it's authorization, whether it's authentication. You get treated poorly because you've established a history of sending the risky stuff. And so everybody, we have our risk models, the authorization systems, whether it be Falcon or other systems, they have their risk models. And nobody likes it when a risky merchant starts to just send all sorts of stuff because they just can't trust it. But Square, to their credit, has lived up to their side of the bargain by sending what they believe to be legitimate transactions using the data-only field on 3D Secure, giving the issuers a pre-look on the authentication side before sending it to authorization. And lo and behold, everyone's winning. Square is getting much higher approval rates, and so are the issuers, resulting in higher revenues for both. So been a pretty good pilot, good strong. It's actually a significant data set that has yielded positive results. And now we're starting to see the green shoots of other merchants, large acquirers, wanting to do similar stuff to get similar results. So it feels like we're at the edge or the dawn of a new wave in 3D Secure, where it's actually using authentication to drive higher approval rates and authorization. And I'm pretty encouraged by it.
I think that the results you read out in particular, they're just they're very, very strong. And if that's like 6.5%, it is hard to believe. I mean, just show how poor the approval rates were before if you can raise it 6.5%. And we wouldn't class Square as being a high risk MCC, right? So some of the issues clearly were playing heavy defense. But I think I always come back to this: issuers don't want to stop genuine transactions. It's just they can only work with what they're being sent. And I think a lot of credit goes out to the team at Square, who made put a lot of effort into sending high quality data in the right format that could be used by our team as well. I know teams on both sides worked well together. Now, I'm sure that the listeners will be interested in, whenever you put something out like this, the first question is, okay, what's the lift in terms of resource and effort that's required for issuers and for any merchants? You mentioned there, I'd agree, right? We're talking to a lot of particularly the larger merchants right now, who are very interested in this, and actually some are a bit further down than just interested, and are about to go live with this kind of approach. But for those who aren't aware, any comments on kind of the amount of effort and what effort is needed in order to kick something like this off?
Well, I will say every merchant and or acquirer essentially of any size already has the ability to send 3D secure transactions. And so Well, this just requires setting a certain flag on the 3DS message. And so, could there be development? There could be development work to just say, for these transactions, tag it with the number 6. But that's essentially it, because the Rails already exist. This is not custom 3DS. This is standard 3D secure. This is just using the Rails and using the protocol as it's been designed. You just have to set the data flag to say data only, and it will be treated appropriately. And the beauty of data only on Visa is there's zero, there's it's not actually issuers are not allowed to challenge the transaction. So there will not be any friction on data only on Visa. And MasterCard, there will not be any friction, but there could be a deny if the issuer decides to deny it. But if it's a low risk transaction, the likelihood of deny is pretty low. So I think either Visa or MasterCard, the data only is working as designed, and I think that there's a big opportunity for everyone involved.
Yeah, I think it's a really smart move by the schemes to send that message to merchants, which is very different from the old message of 3DS, which is if you use 3DS, you can get liability shift, and the price you pay for that is that you can't hold your customer may be authenticated, but you won't be liable for the resulting fraud. Whereas that still stacks up, but merchants now have the choice that if they send RCIO 6, then to your point, it can't be challenged or denied on Visa. Can't be challenged on mask. It's a very, I think, simple story. And for some merchants who are, I would say, particularly sensitive to any kind of friction, they're just looking at this from the bottoms up type approach. We're just going to use the low risk combined with RCIO 6 to get higher approval rates. And then others like Square are looking to use the full spectrum. So leverage all the data and KYC that you have, and the score, allocate the correct RCI code. And like to your point, it's really just putting a flag in places now. I would imagine that there aren't many merchants out there who don't have a 3DS capability, either directly or through their processor. So, and even some of the larger ones are using, acquirer PSPs who can then kind of work, who we are already working with, I think most of them, who can then assign that flag. So upstream, I would say very little effort. And that seems to be the feedback. It's not just my view. Merchants seem to say, okay, if it's that simple, that's very easy. That's very easy for us to do. Now, what about downstream? You kind of touched upon it then when you were saying like hard coded, it can't be challenged. But what needs to happen downstream, if anything, from an issuer point of view? Any thoughts on that?
Well, not much, because the way that these data-only transactions work is that the fraud liability remains with the merchant. So the issuer, when authenticating the transaction, does not have to be concerned with the liability of fraud. So which is why they're willing to accept the scheme policies and rules around no challenge, because if you don't, you're not going to be stuck with the fraud liability, then you don't have to play as a stringent of defense. Now, of course, you can still have rules and authorization. You can still have issuers don't lose all control here, because they still have the control to have authorization rules in place for these transactions if they so choose. But in general, it just works. I mean, it's all set up. I mean, of course, you can also set rules on it if you want in the RCOT authentication system. But again, there's scheme policies in place that limit the things you can do with these transactions, other than just take the data points, learn from them. And if you're really advanced, the best issuers that we work with take that information, and they have a real-time feed into authorization, so that they can say, hey, I can take the RCOT risk score, along with the fact that it was an 06 transaction, any other relevant data points, pump it into authorization before the transaction gets there, so that then your approval systems already have more information upon which to make a good decision. And that's what the best of the best are doing right now, is that
Yeah.
move. Yeah, which
Yeah.
is
Yeah. Makes total sense.
best practice by far.
Yeah. And I think for what was great about Square was that there was a series of webinars that were carried out, which was really directed at issuers, and Square were on those webinars, which was kind of a get ready, right? So we'd done the 06 hard config in our system, right? In conjunction with the scheme policies, i.e., it can't be challenged or denied, I'll say, put it that way. But then also we issued guidance for issuers on how to manage these transactions and treat these transactions in authorization. And we know we have some problems in the US that certain issuers who remain nameless may see 3DS transactions as high risk, right? Which is kind of upside down to where it should be. So what we did with Square, and this work's been done, is we provided them with our BINs. And so this pilot was run specifically on Arcot issuers. So point being, they should all be tuned. So if you're a large merchant and you're interested in running this kind of initiative, let's focus on us. Let's get it to work. You can be the next Square, and we'll work with our issuers and we'll prove it. And then what we'll do is we'll go and take that to forums like MRC and MAG, and then we'll promote this as best practice across the industry, including other issuers as well who may not be on our platform. And then I think we'll end at an end state, if there is ever one in the payments industry, where 3DS will be widely used and adopted across, and we can finally get over this problem of, it's either fraud or it's false declines, which has been the case, for years, to be quite honest. I think we're on the cusp.
Absolutely.
Now, so that's great. And if we will put in the newsletter links to it if you haven't seen it already. But yeah, definitely go and read it. I thought it was a very, very good article, Matt. So yeah, that's great. Now, linked to all this is Smart Rule Set, because that's obviously how we are helping our issuers manage those transactions incoming from merchants. Lots of progress in that. Any thoughts? Feel like we do a monthly, and rightly so, update on Smart Rule Set and how we're progressing.
Yeah, absolutely. First, just for any new listeners, what is the Smart Rule Set? Smart Rule Set is essentially just a algorithmic rule set that is able to route transactions using all of the learnings and data that we have in our machine learning models to effectively route the transaction through authentication, whether or not it should be allowed, challenged, or denied. We have a ton of data. We've been scoring transactions for a long time. We have billions of scored transactions. We have billions of devices on the platform. So we now have a pretty good sense of what represents fraud and what doesn't. And so we're able to programmatically route those transactions through the Arcot network. And the beauty of the way we've done this is that we've set it up in such a way that we can do A/B testing around what is a current issuer rule set. The path that transactions take using the existing current issuer rule set, and then what's the path that's taken using the smart rule set, and not only that, but what's the outcome, what's the fraud, and what's the what are the approval rates? So it's a pretty clean data-driven analysis of which one works better, and it's the smart rule set just works better in pretty much every single case that where we've deployed it. So really optimistic on the power of the feature. And I'm happy to report that we have more issuers have signed up for it, are using it. It's a product feature that's just can be just a toggle button on the Arcot console to turn it on. And we have more and more issuers every week adding smart rule set feature. And we're so encouraged by it that we are just continuing to push adoption and make sure that issuers know what they're signing up for. It's been interesting because as you think about adoption, many people think, oh, it's a model. Do I need governance? Do I need that? And we've scoped it in such a way that it can be actioned on a very small portion of an issuer's transactions, which makes it very easy to start using with very little downside risk. And we've started there's many, if you think about an authentication, a rule set, how it works. It's a transaction comes in and the characteristics of that transaction trigger certain rules. And those rules are prioritized so that you can see which ones go first and it keeps going. And then by the end of that list, there's a bunch of transactions that no rule triggered. And so in many cases, issuers have set that up, said, if no rule triggers, then it's called default allow. You just allow it, which that's not perfect, right? Because if it just because it didn't hit a rule doesn't mean that it's still not fraud. What our recommendation would be is just use the smart rule set on those default allows, because if you're just letting it go through, you might as well you let the smart rule set take a look at it, and if it thinks it should be challenged, challenge it. If it thinks it should be let go or approved, you just let it frictionless approve. Or if you think it's a deny, why wouldn't you have smart rule set at least action those smaller ones, and that becomes your pilot. That becomes the way in which we not only do we have all the data for AB across the entire set of transactions, but we've actually are able to start actioning transactions real time in production, but on a smaller scope, which makes issuers a lot more comfortable of how to get started. So, pretty encouraged by the pickup rates. We're starting to really get our momentum here, and I would expect throughout the summer that we get all of our issuers onto the smart rule set feature.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you think about what a fraudster really is trying to do, they're trying to either invoke an allow rule or they're trying to drop out the bottom and get to default allow. Because obviously, they may try and hack the challenge, but the easiest path is invoke an allow rule or drop out of the bottom. So we're working with issuers now to, lean on us for those allow transactions, default, and then dial it up. So that we're removing issuer allow rules. And I will say, I haven't done this for a while. If I was an issuer, I would be leaning on the experts to help me write rules, update rules. I think rules were really intended as being policy, right? So, but what we're seeing is that after a fraud attack, a rule is written and then it's not. And you've mentioned this a few times, right, in these discussions, it's then not removed. And then when we have new merchants come on board and flash sale events, which issuers, want to make sure that those transactions are processed, guess what? They're disproportionately blocked. And so now, we're going through an exercise, I think, of looking at those rules and removing the rules that aren't really valid. But we can move faster than that, I think, by removing, really significant chunks of that rule set and leaning more on the smart rule set. And the results, to your point, they kind of speak for themselves.
Yeah,
So.
and it's not, there's also, it's the other element I didn't mention, which I typically don't, is the compliance requirements. In certain
Right.
parts of the world, it is absolutely required by law that you adhere to certain regulatory rules. And so we've built that right in the smart rule set that now you actually can be comfortable and confident that you are in adherence with the regulations because we have a regulatory policy layer that takes all of the policies for the given country in which you're operating and make sure that you are indeed compliant. So it's been a really powerful feature, and I think one that is pretty unique to Arca.
Yeah. Lean on us. That's a great example. Okay, very good. Well, I kind of feel like we could keep going. We could keep going. We're at 25 minutes, Matt. So any closing comments? Obviously, we've got the shout out for the summit, but anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I think the thing I would say is 3D Secure is evolving and becoming a better version of itself. I'll say it that way. It's continues. I'm amazed if I just look back over the last 6 or 7 years, every year the complexity starts to diminish and the power of what can be done via 3DS seems to go up. And at one point it was just for risky stuff, and then it was really driven by things like PSD2 because someone tells me I have to do it, and now we're starting to see people doing it because it's delivering better results, and that is where we all want to be, is that you want to be using technology and the protocol because it works. And that's what we're starting to see, is that this is really starting to work at scale for some of the world's largest merchants and the world's largest issuers. And if we can continue that momentum, I think we'll be able to get better and better and better. And in 1 year's time, we'll have even more examples of how 3D Secure actually drove real financial results for a lot of players in the ecosystem.
Very well said, Matt. I think couldn't agree more. I think we'll continue to with your kind of you're saying is we'll make data-driven decisions and we'll share that data as we go. So we'll do that over the next few months. I think we will continue to see progress, and then we'll share a lot of the data and feedback from merchants and issuers at the summit, and see how far we can take this. It's exciting times. So very good.
Yeah, please join us at the summit. I think everyone will enjoy it.
Yeah, fantastic. Great. Okay, well, we'll leave it there. And we will speak again in July, but really appreciate it. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.